Greetings, this is James Ginland with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show today. We're going to have the second air. We're going to have Santos Bonacci, and amazing man. He's done some incredible research into the ancient origins of our control system, you might call it. It's pretty amazing, and how we can get out of it, how we can awaken, and a lot of amazing research concerning the endocrine system, the glands, the way the brain works, the way the different chakra systems work, and how to activate, this ascension process, and how it's been suppressed as well. So it's going to be a great interview in the second hour. The first hour, we're going to do mainly call-ins after we get going with the some information. Now, I wanted to cover a few things this time around because I'm getting some feedback, which is quite interesting. And it's very smug, I call it spiritual smugness or the denial program, whatever you want to call it. But it's amazing how we talked earlier on the last show about how we've been monitoring the increase of earthquake activity in quakes that are over 5 or over 6. And the graph, if you look at it, it just goes off the scale. I mean, the earth is just shaking and rocking and rolling. The storms, the superstorms, the severe weather, all of this stuff is all, very well documented. And it's also increasing. If you look at the insurance statistics, the disasters that they've had to pay out on are also just off the scale. So, basically, this is statistics. This isn't prophecy. This isn't doom and gloom. This is just saying, hey, folks, this is what's happening around you. And, the solar activity, the solar cycle 24 is beyond imagination. I think I just got an email yesterday, and they said the last 48 hours, we got something like, I think it was 6 M-class flares and 8 C-class flares right in a row. And most of those were directed towards the earth. So we're seeing some crazy, crazy things happening in the sky. Hopefully the internet will hold up through this program. We're having little glitches now and then in our internet. I did a long meditation today, and I've got a picture of some of the lamas and the other people I studied with, and burned some nice candles, and just did a long meditation to see what was up. And hooked into our Star Nation friends as well, and asked them. So what's going on? What do you want me to talk about? Today, and one of the things they kept bringing up was that it would be really good to warn people that remaining on the coast is not a good idea, and a lot of people are going to take exception with this, and that's why I'm getting some of the remarks of holier than thou, and someday you'll wake up and figure it out, and this is all illusion, the earth changes aren't happening. After all, I just bought my condo, and I bought my dream beach home, and nothing's going to happen. So good for you, I really hope that truth becomes a reality. I hope the earth just ascends and goes to the next level, and we all hold hands and learn to get along with each other. But it doesn't seem like it's going to be that gentle of a path, that we're on, basically due to all the resistance that is put out. So, we've got some severe resistance going on. There are people that want to continue with the greed program and the separation game and continue to profit at the expense of humanity and the earth, and they're bent on controlling everyone and everything. I don't know if you're paying attention to what's been signed recently, but they signed the Patriot Act, followed by the National Defense, the NDA Act. I think it was 1867, which basically said they could arrest you, detain you forever, without a trial, without anything, and lock you up, and all they have to do is name you. All you have to do is be abusive or negative in some manner towards the establishment, and they can basically lock you up, which would put probably most of Americans in that category, So So anyway, that was signed. And then now the latest one, which I saw, was just amazing, where I guess all of the agencies now are all put under the wing of Homeland Security with, you know, our fearless leader at the top. And so now we do have a dictatorship. It's pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered. Constitution pretty much went into the toilet, you know, according to these programs that are being signed. And the Republic, you know, is dead. You know, but the problem is it's not dead. The Republic is dead if the people believe it's dead and believe that these papers have authority in their lives. I, for one, don't. You know, my authority comes from source. It comes from the source itself. And I believe in universal law, and universal law is coming to the planet. So you're going to see a great unraveling of these programs that are set up to enslave the people and disempower people and create continue to generate this manufactured lack program that we have going right now. So anyway, you know, basically I just wanted to address that. You know, it's amazing how much flack you get by just, you know, stating, you know, the truth and stating, you know, what's going on statistically. You know, it's like, I had a lot of friends in New York, and I told them it'd really be a really good idea to take a vacation, you know, and probably a permanent vacation eventually with this Hurricane Sandy. Well, some of them listened, and they cruised right through this no problem, you know. Other ones, you know, are still having problems. They're still, their places aren't inhabitable. You know, what happened there, I don't know if anybody's been following that, but I saw skin divers, you know, going down subways and restaurant rows and things like that, you know, with tanks on and cruising by. And actually, I saw sharks coming inland and cruising up down neighborhood streets and things. So, you know, it was pretty amazing photographs of what happened with that tidal surge and with Sandy. So that's just one event. That's a little event. You know, if it wasn't little, if you were there, put it that way. But there's some bigger events to come. So anyway, you know, the people I studied with, the lamas and the yogis and the other people, they were fully aware of nature. They can feel the pulse of the planet. They can see what's going on with the collective consciousness. They can feel that. They also know what spirit's up to, and they know when things are not in balance and when there is disharmony, and they know when the dark forces, you might say, are running their programs and you know, the balance between that and the light forces, and they know there's going to be a clashing, you know, when these two forces come together. So anyway, it's quite interesting. They don't really focus on it, but they're fully aware of it. And so, you know, but then you have the people, as I said, that are living in total denial, that they're holding on to this to the very end and saying, no, you know, our leaders are looking out for us. They're, you know, they've got their bumper stickers and they're saying, go whoever, you know, and they really think that we still do have a system that's for the people and by the people. The problem is we don't. And unless the people rise up and wake up, you know, this is going to continue. And that's happening on a major scale right now. So just that alone is not, you know, that alone is not going to create this peaceful hold hands kumbaya ascension that other people are saying is going to happen, because, you know, that's a possibility for some people. You know, if you're sitting on a mountaintop and you're in a community that's awake and you've prepared and you're living off the land and you're close to nature, you're still going to experience some changes, but, you know, you can probably cruise through this stuff very well. And you may have that kumbaya experience. But if you're not, and you're on the beach, and the oceans start displacing, and the poles start, you know, moving around, and the earth starts wobbling, you're going to have an experience. That's just the way it is. And you know, if you talk to any of the major remote viewers, if you talk to any of the major psychics that are having visions, if you talk to some of the children, I mean, I know a lot of younger people that are having visions daily, and they're sending me those visions. And they're very clear visions of a lot of water moving around and the earth going through a lot of changes. And so, you know, I listen to them. And I listen to my own visions when they occur as well. So I have seen great upwellings in the oceans. I have seen the oceans moving inland, a lot of flooding, you know, coming up in the future, some very, very large quakes. And we need to really keep an eye on the San Andreas right now because it's rocking and rolling. And there's some huge quakes up in Alaska and Vancouver, and these are moving on down, down, and that is a subduction zone, and it's known for busting loose with some very big quakes, with some very big tsunamis to follow. So we need to pay attention to that, and the New Madrid and other places as well. And you know, just watch. The other thing I was talking about is that the sun. This has been prophesized for a long time that the sun was going to expand. It was going to go through its cycle, and what they were telling me is that the earth and the sun have an agreement, and the sun is going to support the earth in her ascension process as she moves forward. And we need to understand this process. When the sun releases these flares, these massive flares, they're absorbed by the earth, and the earth expands, and the earth is overheating. And when that happens, she has to release that pressure. So you're going to have an increase in earthquake and volcanic activity followed by the flares, as well as erratic weather and just crazy weather. Well, we've had crazy solar activity, so we're having crazy weather. You know, it's very simple. You know, if you want to factor in the HAARP boys and the weather modification and the chemtrails and everything else, that's having its effect as well. But they're capitalizing on an already ongoing event that's unfolding. All of this now, it's very obvious. You know, if you're listening to mainstream radio or TV, you're not going to have a clue as to what's going down. You know, you're going to be caught up in all the dramas and all the distractions and everything else. And, you know, with a lot of the alternative I'd say alternative radio and TV as well seem to be going in that direction as well. They're becoming much like the mainstream. So it's just a different spin, but more confusion and not getting to the meat. We just sent out a newsletter concerning this. I want you to think about this. Think carefully about this. When you see, you know, a radio show or a TV show or whatever, and they're trying to bring out, you know, information, always watch for the spin and watch how deep they go. You know, are they going to take it? You know, are they going to bring in the heavy hitters? Are they going to bring in the people that really know what's going down? Are they going to bring on, people that are of impeccable integrity? Basically, no, they usually just dance around the issues, and they just put a lot of information out there and keep dancing around the issues. And you go, when are they going to get to the meat? You know, and a lot of them are very infiltrated, and they have, you know, a lot of times you don't make it to the top unless you're heavily financed, you know, by the corporations. And if you're heavily financed by the corporations, they want to control both sides. They want to keep the controversy going, even between the alternative thinkers and the more conservative thinkers. They want to keep that going as well. So anyway, they've got their hand in the pie, and it's amazing when you see somebody that sees the whole game, and they're just not going to get the airtime. That's the way it goes. I've had some really good friends, you know, one's Michal Ledwith, who just blows the lid off the Pope, you know, and all the nonsense there in the Catholic Church and all the stuff going down here and how it was created and the control factors and, you know, it's amazing. You know, he was a theologian. He was an advisor to the Pope, you know, so, you know, basically he knows what he's talking about. But when scheduled to come on some of these major talk shows, all of a sudden he gets censored and taken off out of the picture. You know, another one in the UFO community, we've talked earlier about that, is the National UFO Reporting Center is totally censored everything happening here at Mount Adams. And vehemently speaks about us, calling us every name in the book. And that's come to our attention many times. And we've watched reports being changed, reports refuse to be taken. You know, just a lot of shenanigans there over and over again. Yeah, you know, yet these guys are the lead people bringing out the information on ufology or UFO activity or sightings or contacts or whatever. They won't even touch contacts, basically. They just keep it, you know, under the sightings category. So anyway, these major talk shows have these guys, you know, as their spokesman. So there's a network. It's a good old boy club that's going on there. And they just keep you in confusion, keep you confused with a lot of data, a lot of information. I think it's amazing how we're all just glued to these rovers, these Mars rovers, you know. For all we know, they may not even be on Mars. They might be out in the desert somewhere driving around, you know, and they keep finding, you know, like artifacts, pieces of metal, footprints, things like that, you know, and it's all like, you know, big news about launches and failed launches and all this other stuff. Well, that's all smoke and mirrors because we've been going back and forth to Mars and the moon since, you know, the late 60s and 70s. And it hasn't been a problem. We've had anti-gravity and counter-gravity since then. But we've actually gone further. But that's a whole nother story. But anyway, you ask yourself, you go, why are they doing this smoke and mirror stuff? NASA this, NASA that. You know, let's just get to the truth of the matter. Let's just talk about the secret space program, you know, the space fleet. You know, let's talk about the anti-gravity, the counter-gravity, and stop messing around, keeping everything in the past and keeping everybody confused. You know, it's just like, my God, you know, let's just bring this information out and put the cards all on the table. I think humanity is wise enough and evolved enough to know the truth, and they should have a right to know the truth. I mean, after all, the people that are keeping the truth from us are our employees. I mean, we are paying these people, so, and we are giving these people this privilege, which has been greatly abused, and which I think is going to be you know, taken out later, you know. But anyway, I wrote a newsletter about that. Last show we talked about the changes, you know, the bottom line, the sun is going ballistic. It is going to create an increase in earthquake and volcanic activity. We are moving towards galactic plane, that we're going to hit that wall around December 21st to the 23rd. We're going to be going through that. It's a very large magnetic field. We're kind of going into it already. We're starting to feel the effects of it already, but I guess it's going to peak. But as I've always said, is that December 23rd is the peak, supposedly, of this major event. And but, you know, as all things, when things happen, that there's always a residual. There's a buildup and then a build-down process on both sides. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot of major changes between now and I would say the summer of 2013, things are going to get real active. And, you know, it could happen anytime. You know, we could have even a pole shift from a month to 3 months. You know, who knows? We don't know exactly when this date is going to happen. And it's kind of, things are kind of fluid. There's a lot of work being done. There's a lot of divine intervention happening. The collective consciousness is waking up. You know, there's a lot of people doing what they can to alleviate this situation. So, you know, it's a, you know, the Earth has her evolutionary process and her own soul, and she's doing what she needs to do. We're part of that process. We have a physical body, and most likely whatever happens in the physical, we're going to be subject to if we have a physical body. You know, there's a lot of mental, emotional, and spiritual things happening as well. But, you know, basic, the bottom line is if you can't bilocate, levitate, or if you can't ascend, you know, to the next level, you're going to have an experience. And if you think you're going to do it in the throes of a great quake or in front of a tsunami, more power to you. I doubt if that's going to happen. So anyway, yeah, we're the people that are down to earth. We're very earthy, and we're telling you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And yes, it's going to piss off a lot of people. And a lot of people are saying, well, you're not very evolved because I see just love and light and joy, and that's all I have in my reality, and that's all I'm going to experience. Great. You know, more power to you. I really hope that manifests for you. But we're a little more earthy and down to earth here. And I always feel that common sense is God sense. So it's a good idea I would strongly suggest you might want to look towards moving away from the coast, you know, get away from any large body of water, as the Hopi and all the Native Americans are saying right now, know where your water comes from, test your water, where your food comes from. Start getting in touch with the earth, learn to grow your own food. I wouldn't be dependent on your power or most electronics in the future. And unless something new comes up, there are new technologies that won't be affected by magnetic pole shifts or solar flares or any of the magnetic disturbances. You know, they're already built. And as far as the public is concerned and the collective, they're not available and they've been greatly held back. So that's another area that could use some major looking into and major work. But anyway, that's just wanted to give that information out. There's a lot of people, especially younger people, that are having these visions. They are seeing these future scenarios, and feel free to share. And on that note, I wanted to give the call-in numbers. The first hour, we're going to do call-ins and then open up at the second hour with Santos Panacci. So I'll give those numbers out. If you want to call in, find yourself a pen. The first number is 888-627-6008. And the second number is 530-327-7602. Or it's 530-413-4522. Or 530-413-5011. And so we'll give those numbers again shortly. And if you want to call in and express some of your ideas and things, you know, and I know this is, I used to live in Santa Cruz. I used to live on the beach, had a beautiful duplex there, had half of it rented out. I didn't even have to work, had a hot tub, you know, rode my bike around, did a lot of carpentry jobs and things like that, and was taking all kinds of spiritual classes and consciousness raising classes, you might say, process oriented therapy classes, everything you could imagine. You know, every yogi, every lama you could imagine that came through there, I was there, you know. And so I had a great place there, and then the vision started, and I started seeing the great quakes and the tsunamis and things like that. And I was told to go and do something a little bigger on a little higher ground. And so I followed that vision, and that's why I'm here at Ysetti, at the Ysetti Ranch, because I followed that vision. Was I ahead of my time? Yes, way ahead of my time. You know, and you know, the visions and the information Ezekiel gave back in 1982 is all unfolding now. So, you know, there have been some of us that have been getting this information. We've been taking a lot of hits from the mainstream and from social consciousness that really resist any change, any new information for quite some time. But now, you know, these aren't prophecies anymore. This isn't just some nutcase out in the forest, you know, having a vision and telling people about it. This is now statistics. It's science. It's happening. It's happening all around you. And we just need to pay attention. And again, if you're waiting for the mainstream to tell you what's going on, forget it. And even the alternative news, you're going to get a half-truth mostly. So it's so important now that people go within, get out in nature, meditate, get your own personal connection with spirit going, and pay attention to nature, pay attention to your heart and what you're feeling. And, you know, get out of fear. You know, you need to observe this stuff with loving detachment and realize, you know, we're all eternal. We've all signed up for this ticket, and some are going to write it on out. And, you know, some signed up for the long-term ticket, some signed up for the short-term ticket, but your eternal soul is the one that knows, what you signed up for. And, you know, those who signed up for the short-term ticket and want to live on the coast, have a great one. That's all I can say is that kudos to you, and have a good ride. But anyway, that's, I've felt it's really important to bring this information out and let people know that, you know, it's basically, you know, we can't continue to live in denial. You know, we can't continue in actions that are harmful to humanity and the earth. We can't continue to support leadership, whether it be religious leadership or governmental leadership, anything that continues with the separation game, you know, those other people, you know, it's like we have to drop that program and not go for it anymore. You know, that the days of separation are over, and unity consciousness is here, and it's expanding exponentially, and these great waves are ushering it in. So that old program, the old greed game, the old separation game, you know, on these elite hierarchies and their corporations and their kingdoms are unraveling, and they're going to unravel, and karma's gonna, you know, find its way. And, you know, the action reaction principle, the reaction to these actions is coming home, and we're going to see that all very soon. I mean, you're going to see this unraveling through this month on, you know. So it's, and you know, if you don't believe that, just take a peek at the mainstream news if you want, because, I mean, everything is surfacing, not just in the mainstream, but the alternative media is bringing up a lot of this information now. And a lot of the heads, you know, a lot of the leaders are just dropping like flies and being exposed for what they're doing. But anyway, we're hoping to get some call-ins. If you wanted to have a call, call in and talk about some of your visions, some of your feelings, what you feel is happening on the planet. It's so important. Again, you know, when I saw the visions and everything, when I was in Santa Cruz, California, I got gut punched. I got hit hard. And I got, you know, a little pissed at some of the people that were telling me some of these things, you know, but I saw them. I saw them, you know, from within. I had the dreams, and I went through that process, and I understand that process. You know, but, you know, it's, I'm not doing this because I want to promote gloom and doom or fear. I'm not capitalizing on this. I'm not making any money on doing this. You know, a matter of fact, I pay for a lot of these radio shows and these other things. You know, everybody goes, oh, you have these radio shows, you're making all this money, you're an author, you're this, you're that. All that money goes back into public, you know, acclimation and the awakening and healing of humanity on earth. It goes back into SETI. I live a simple life. I don't need all the trappings. You know, it's not important to me. So if it serves humanity on earth, and it serves SETI, and if SETI continues to serve humanity on the earth, that's where my energies are directed. You know, there's a few rumors out there going around. I'm not even going to address those, but they're so ridiculous. You know, that especially there's rumors around this legal fund, you know, that, you know, basically nothing happened, that we pocketed all the money and things like that. It's so ridiculous. I mean, I had 9 court cases in 2 years of legal assistance. And if you don't think that costs some money, out of pocket money beyond anything that was donated, you know, you've got another thing coming. But anyway, it was a very expensive process. We had quite a legal team to work on this. And, you know, we all felt that this was something that we needed to take a stand on, because a lot of humanity were watching this. And basically it was a situation where all of our rights were completely abused and ignored. And it was an attempt to just shut down, you know, SETI and shut down this information that's coming out now. But, you know, we stood tall. All of us worked really hard on it. And we paid a lot out for legal advices, had attorneys, had to actually fire the attorneys in the end because they sold us down the river, and ended up with 4 or 5 legal advisors that helped us through the process. So, you know, kudos out to these people. But I would really check into a lot of these movements and support them. You know, Dean Clifford, you know, is one of them. You know, Spencer Barkley. God, I can go on and on. I was trying to think of the other ones. There were so many. Curtis, and Curtis was helping us out. We've had so many people working on this project that just stepped in and helped out. There's a reason we got through it. There's no way we could have gotten through this whole mess unless we did have a lot of prayers being said, a lot of meditations, you know, were happening, a lot of, we just had so much support. I'm getting some people saying they're trying to call in, but the phone is busy. They can't get in. I don't know if the lines are down or what's happening, but we're getting a lot of, you know, we're getting on our other phone line, we're getting people saying, hey, we're trying to call in, but the lines are busy. So if we do have some call-ins, I hope at the studio they can let us know. They're not coming up on the screen, so we're not ignoring you. It's not coming up on the screen. So I'm sure there's some call-ins. But we're having some problems with the phone lines. So anyway, hopefully we can rectify that and see what's going on. I know people are having a lot of trouble with technology right now, and you know, we've had our share here, and we keep getting new equipment, and it seems to explode. You know, I don't know why. I don't know if it's my energy exploding them, or you know what else is going on. Oh, it looks like you do have a call. They're popping up now. Great. All right, so we've got Gina from Spokane on line two. Gina, are you with us?
I am. How are you doing tonight, James?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Thanks. Feeling balanced. I think the Mercury retrograde got me there for a while. But, I was able to clear it out, and I'm starting to feel balanced in these times, so I'm so grateful for that.
Good. I know there's a lot of people that went through that. Yeah, I think the combination of Mercury retrograde, the solar flares, and the full moon, and all these things that are happening have just been throwing people for loops. And, you know, a lot of people aren't handling these energies very well.
It's, I don't know, I just look at it as an opportunity for clearing. I think we're in an age where we're clearing mass trauma from ourselves, from the planet. And, of course it's hard not to talk about job losses these days. Almost everyone has one. And, I just look at it as our time to take an opportunity where we've got time on our hands, and we need to take advantage of that and feel and clear things out of our systems. For a while, I think we're workhorses working one job, two jobs, three jobs, and now people can barely get one job, so hey, we've got time, and it's time to smell the roses again, smell the environment, the trees, the leaves, and if there's pain to clear up, you know, by all means, feel it, be appreciative that it's coming up, and it's this time, you know, to clear things, I believe.
Definitely, yeah. I see that too. A lot of people in the lose their jobs, and you know, they may have been just totally stressed out and living way over their means and paycheck, and basically, you know, if you can just slow down and use that time, you might have to make some adjustments, but use that time to get in touch with your own spirit and get out in nature. Maybe get your hands in the ground, you know, or go for some hikes in the forest or whatever. You'll find out that your happiness will start returning to you, and as well as your awareness, you know, as to maybe the lifestyle you've chosen, you know, may have not been the American dream. It might have been more of a nightmare, and now you are waking up to the real, you know, the real dream or better.
Right. That's right. And you know what? We're doing this together. You know, it's really, I mean, it, it's definitely, there's an important stage to feeling, you know, of course we feel like a victim at first, but and let that hurt come out. But then it's time to move on and say, you know, we chose this existence. We chose to be here in this time and go through this. And we're not alone. I mean, there's millions going through it together. And there's a reason for that as well. And you're right. You know, we've been kind of living in an elitist way and getting away from nature. And hey, if we can't pay cable this week, guess what? We are going to go back to nature. It's just time, that full circle, to appreciate what, you know, the real value of this beautiful earth, you know?
I agree. I always tell people, you know, as kids, when we were kids, we lived in the desert, and we didn't watch very much TV at all. We spent our time mostly out in the desert, and you know, there's a river not too far away, which we used to go down to, and you know, all we needed is a few sticks and some frogs and some mud and whatever else. And we were just happy campers. You know, we were exploring, you know, the rock hills, you know, the big granite boulders, you know, behind our house and things like that. We knew every rook and cranny of that place. And, you know, that to me is a really healthy environment versus watching just commercial after commercial to get one toy after another so you can get the biggest, least beast that can do the most damage on your other people, you know. So
that's right, and we're going to be paying attention to each other, and we're going to be talking more with each other, and really I think, you know, we can dwell in the sadness, but after a while I think that we're going to come to a point where we're going to learn to say, you know, I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. And just being appreciative of the little things. We've gotten away from so much, but now we're coming back to our roots.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's time to really support the earth in her process and what she needs to do. And yeah, you know, it's kind of might upset your comfort zones. You might have to make some changes in your life, but I mean, she's been taking care of us for a long, long time. And, you know, it's time for us to start taking care of her and start giving a little back.
Right. Right. And you know what else? You know, I'm going to bring up dowsing because I'm a dowser, and it's something that human beings have done from the beginning of time. And works. I initially got into it because my grandmother used to have to get gold treatments because of her arthritis, and her naturopath got her into dowsing every single food she ate because she was allergic to so many. And you know, miracles started happening left and right, and she didn't have to take gold treatments anymore. The arthritis wasn't painful anymore. And then she brought me into dowsing, and I learned how to test myself for everything. And these days, the medical community is so, I don't know, convoluted. And, you know, oftentimes their remedies are actually hurting us. And it's time for us to start taking our power back. And so things like dowsing is coming back. So it's a really exciting time, actually. It depends how you look at it. If you look at the glass half full or half empty, or this is a time for opportunity instead of being a victim, I think it's really bringing us to the mind and being appreciative of our minds. And anyway, I just think those are the times that we're coming into.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it is. It's like, you know, this may sound weird, but I welcome the changes. You know, I am so done with the status quo and social consciousness and what's been happening on the planet, you know, and the condition of our air and our water and everything else. You know, this program, I mean, basically, you know, it sounds pretty weird, but I'm like, yeah, you know, when nature starts doing her thing and starts cleaning up, I'm all for it. I'm like a cheerleader, in a way. And people go, well, that's pretty twisted. And I go, not really. You know, it's just like, I really want to see, I've seen the end product. I know where the earth is going. You know, I've seen this pristine planet reorganize itself and get back on track to the original intent. And I'm all for that, you know, however that needs to happen.
I am too. And, you know, it might be a little painful at first. I remember when I was really young because I was born very awake, and my dreams were leading me through this world. And I had this really bad nightmare, and then I had the same really bad nightmare over again. And I asked, why did I have the same nightmare over again? And this loud voice came over, and it said, because in able to undo damage, you must relive the damage. And it's funny, I ended up getting really bad PTSD from the military. And that exact scenario happened as the flashbacks came. I was reliving things. But I noticed if I faced it and I actually allowed the pain, embraced it, it could come out of my system. If I ran away from it, it would just, you know, come back. So I think if the pain comes, embrace it. There's messages there. And there's healing. So anyway, sometimes a pain is a gift. Like if you have a toothache, you don't want to ignore the toothache because you won't, you know, heal the tooth. It's important to realize the pain is a gift. Okay, this is a tooth that needs to be fixed. So it was a gift. So don't, I encourage people not to be afraid of pain. Embrace it, go through the feelings. It's not a bad thing. Pain isn't a bad thing. I think it's really how you look at things and that, I think, you know, these days, with entertainment, I think we escape a lot of things. I think now's not the time to escape. It's time to feel. It's time to be real. It's time to be human beings.
Hmm. You know, I agree. If you embrace the pain, and you know, we have a lot of wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, and you know, until we embrace those and go through them and feel them, you know, and go through all the way, they're going to come around again and again and again. And, you know, and we can drug them, you know, or we can avoid them. We can do whatever, but they're just going to keep coming around. But until you're ready to just face it head on and feel it and gain the right conclusion from the experience and own it, you know, rather than blame or project, you know, it's just going to continue to happen again and again.
That's
and
right.
What I'm seeing now is, you know, I don't want to categorize people, but let's just say if there were two types of people, there are some people that are in the blame, you know, project and victim mode, you know, and blaming everybody and making everybody responsible and judging and condemning and even, you know, going after other people aggressively and not realizing that it's their own stuff that they're trying to conquer. You know, they're really there to conquer themselves. And once you realize that, you know, the war ends. And
that's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
But
I kind of remember a little bit of my past life coming in, and I felt like everything was on my shoulders and I was completely I had to take care of myself and there was no one else. And so that life ended, and then I chose these parents to come into in the same scenario. So I look at my military experiences not as a negative, but it gave me the opportunity for growth. It gave me the opportunity for multidimensional expansion. And as I expand, I'm able to love even deeper. And that's why I came into this physical body, to expand with love and courage and strength. That's why I choose these earth experiences, this physical body experience. And once we remember that, where it's resonates again with us, things will be okay. You know, it's just coming to that understanding, I think, is the hardest part sometimes for people.
Yeah, I think also realizing that you know, not everybody's going to get it, not everybody wants to get it, and maybe we need to, like, start focusing our time and energy on ourselves and people who are getting it and who are moving in that direction, and, you know, you know, to get through this process. You know, I've heard a lot of prophets talk about this, and, you know, there's a march and it's going forward, you know, and you know, you're going to have a spiritual family. And I think I was listening to a thing with Leo Sprinkle, you know, and he was talking about how a lot of his colleagues didn't agree with his work, you know, and doing past life regressions and working on people who had contacts and abductions and things of that nature. And I guess they were talking about how his colleagues accepted it, you know, and he was saying, well, I changed my colleagues, you know.
Absolutely. Well, everything has always, ever since I started talking, I've looked at everything as mathematics. and everybody has their own mathematics, but I've definitely noticed that positive attracts positive and negative attracts negative. So whatever your mathematics are, you're going to attract the same mathematics to you. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is, the way we grow, and, you know, we get into a relationship and we change our mathematics, so we move on to other relationships. We're constantly learning, growing, and expanding. I don't know. That's how I look at things. I've always looked at things like that.
What I've noticed that souls will actually be born in certain areas where there is a lot of chaos, or the magnetic fields are very low, you know, that's very compressed, you know, or something, you know, there's something there that's drawn them to that, not just incarnating, but other people are drawn to these areas. And then nature is going to come in and do something to activate, you know, like a major lightning storm, earthquake, or volcano or something, you know, or cleansing is going to happen in that area. And souls are gravitated to those areas because it's just magnetic attraction, you might say, to have that experience. And then others will move away from it because they're going, wow, it doesn't feel right here anymore. You know, I really need to find a place that resonates more with my frequency, my evolution and growth. And they're moving out of areas, you know, and to places that are going to be sustainable and get through the changes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah, we crave the mathematics for the lessons. And there's so much around us that we can't see. There's so much going on in the other dimensions. And I definitely learned in this earth path, there's angels. I believe that you call them angels. It's amazing what happens too when you ask for help, and there's amazing guidance around us. Anyway, and there's amazing manifestation around us. I think that manifestation kind of been misconstrued quite a bit. What it is, I mean, we have certain contracts that we've chosen for this lifetime, and all that that need to be fulfilled. But there's definitely manifestation here. People just willing to give it a try.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and too, it's like we have to, you know, if we are getting visions and guidance and things like that, you know, we need to act on that and you know, get past that major attachment, you know, whatever it is, you know, and get out of our comfort zones. You know, I've got a few other callers here. I'm going to try to grab for the end of the hour, but thanks, Gina, for calling in, and I love your insights.
Oh, I love yours also. Thank you, James. Have a good night.
All right, take care. It looks like we have Ciela from Quebec on line 4. Are you with us?
Yes, hello. Yes, hello. Well, first of all, congratulations for having won. It would be great sometime, and, you know, you tell us how the saga ended up being victorious, which was all, you know, really inevitable. But so congratulations for that, and it would be nice sometime, you know, to have the people who went, you and, you know, your brothers and sisters who went through that, you know, tell us about it. And
we put out a whole thing on a YouTube with some of the people, a whole panel, and we've been doing that a lot lately and talking about how we can stand up for ourselves, and brought some major experts out, and we've been sharing that, you know, with the world, and actually getting them on the radio show too to talk about.
Okay, it's SETI Stargate. What's the YouTube channel?
SETI Stargate, there's some on there, and well, there's a few on there. We did it at we have them on DVDs too from the latest conference.
Great, I'll check it out. I also wanted to say that yeah, it's definitely true that we are living a planetary, you know, a very intense change and all that. But I also want to remind us all that already there were many of these big changes were already going to happen in 1999 in a much quicker and more dramatic way and humanity, because of the steps we have been taking, we were able to karmically, extend the process and make it less terrible. And it's very important that we all get together in planetary meditations. It would be good sometime maybe you get Inelia again on the show, because she has a couple of times a week where she's doing this with a lot of lightful people, and maybe, you know, you from ISETI, you know, too, you can tell us when you do meditations and we can all tune in. Because all these can really calm nature down a lot. I mean, I have seen it. Me too. I have seen many years ago, you know, this change is coming. But lately I have also have a wonderful dream seeing how, you know, a community togetherness and oneness is taking space and making the changes less dramatic. And also the fact that God is definitely present. I know people in North America, I'm not talking about you, you know, or your listeners, but in general, you know, the States, you know, North America in general is maybe the place with less faith in the whole planet. So people are not aware of other things we are aware of in, you know, in places like India or, you know, South America or, you know, many, many other places of the world. If not, I don't want to, you know, convince people of anything, you know. I mean, I've already talked about this once. I did call it, you know, that I embrace really all the faces. I don't belong to any religion, but it is very important, because I know that already the divine plan already has been unfolding. Something spectacularly began happening in last February. It will be too long to explain it here, but basically, it's very important, like people who have faith in God, if we can, to pray. There's a Sanskrit prayer, it's Lokasa Masta Sukhino Bhavantu, you know. I mean, personally, when I did talk about Sai Baba with you one time before, and, you know, for people who believe in Jesus, Jesus said, you know, the spirit of the original version of what Jesus said was, the one who will come, his name will be truth. I mean, the church has changed, you know, the Bible over and over, but that's the original statement. Sai Baba's name in the just incarnation that just passed was Satya Sai Baba, which means truth. Also, you know, Daniel, the prophet Daniel speaks about a great one coming whose hair would be like wool when it's just been cut. That's describing the hair of Sai Baba. Or like in the Revelations, you know, when they talk about the one whose robe will have the color of blood, like meaning bread, that's, you know, the Sai Baba's robe. Anyways, he's known all over the planet, except maybe in North America, only people from India and people who have this experience. But I tell you, Prema Sai, the third Sai Baba incarnation, has been born. You know, I saw it in a dream of a magnificent baby, divine baby, and he really, the God is totally there. I mean, we exist in God. You know, it's like we cannot forget about that. And it's very important we all get together in planetary peaceful meditations. And I'm telling you this because your radio program and with all the beautiful people around you and listening to you, there's a lot that can be done, you know. And also like tuning in into, you know, the planetary meditations at Inelia. That doesn't mean that changes are not going to happen, but already we are making them happen a lot less strong than they were supposed to, especially if Alfred Weber is right, and these things are hard produced, definitely, you know, bringing light and peace all together. I mean, we are just, you know, a lot of people, and we can do a lot. So, I don't know, I'm telling you this because it would be nice, you know, if you can maybe, you know, like coordinate with Inelia or with the SETIs and planetary meditations. And the, just the third thing, I think it would be nice if you could sometime tell us, if you feel like it, about your life after life experiences, you know? Because I think it can, well, I'd love to hear about them, you know, sometime.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'd love to do that. We're at the end of the hour right now, so I have to reload the next show, and I can't go on. I wish maybe the masters would warp time here right now, but unfortunately, we have this little clock here at a studio far away.
No, that's everything I wanted to say. But, I mean, I was just saying that, you know, maybe sometime in some of your programs, if you'd like to tell us about that, that would be great.
Yeah, one day you will. But anyway, thanks for calling. We've got to cut it. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
We do need to unify and do some a lot more attention experiments and a lot of prayer and meditation.
Okay.
Right.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we're hitting the end of the hour, folks. It was great. A lot going on out there, and I do think if we do a lot of prayer, meditation, attention experiments, and stand up for the nonsense, you know, quit acquiescing, you know, to those that are stealing your freedom and your enslaving you through dependency. If enough people wake up and stand up, we can turn this around and we don't have to experience some of the changes. We can avert some of the changes that are coming, but some of them need to happen. You know, it's just the cleansing process, and it's definitely needs to be happening. So I hope the producers are listening there. We need to put on the second hour with Santos Bonacci. And this is James Gilliland signing off, and enjoy the second hour.
Greetings, this is James Gilliland. I'm your host. We've got another great show. We've got Santos Bonacci. He's been on the show before, and what a riveting guest. He takes astral theology to a whole new level and talks about synchronicity and the 12 cell salts needed for ascension. There's so many different ways we can go with this interview, and I'm not going to beat around the bush here. I'm just going to bring him on. So, Santos, are you with us?
Yes, I am, James. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Great.
Hey,
fantastic.
By the way, I don't know if you heard, but we totally had our case dismissed.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad because I know how the court systems work, and they don't work on justice, my friend. They just work on commerce.
Exactly.
And yeah, and if they can't suck some form of tax or some sort of tithing from you, you know, they're not happy. They're vampires. The system's a vampire.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we kind of exposed it for what it was, we just kept going deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole, and after 9 court appearances, finally they just said, "We're done," and they said, "Promise us you won't come back." You know that we don't have to see you anymore. You know, so I said, "No problem, just leave us alone." You know, and it was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Hey, and while you're on that subject, there's a federal judge who is retired, a beautiful woman. She's 72. Her name is Mary H. Bullock, and she's terminally ill at the moment, but she's going all out with her life in danger to expose the American court system as fraudulent and corrupt, to the core, putrid, unsalvageable, and she says there is no justice in the country. It's all about commerce. The judges, all they want to do is to close cases. Therefore, they'll send, you know, their buffoon sheriffs around to taser you because you haven't registered your dog or something like that, just so that they can close a case, instill terror into the hearts of the free, just as the Vatican did 500 years ago in the Inquisition. The Inquisition's still on, and it's never stopped.
Yeah.
I've proven that.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, we saw that. I mean, it got to the point where I got to wear the jewelry, you know, the eighth time around. but you know, for contempt, but I got out of it. You know, but anyway, you know, just I just stood my ground, and I had a great legal team behind me, and just called it like it was, and told them they had no right to do what they're doing, and you know, prove to me your jurisdiction. And we just went over and over and round in circles, to the point where they said, if you say that one more time, you know, I'm going to throw you in jail. And so, you know, of course, I just, you know, told them, I said, this case is over. You know, you've already. I said, there's an estoppel in place. You're done. Until you can get past that, you know, he goes, I don't know anything about any of this. And I go, well, if you want time to research this, that's great. But the bottom line is that, you know, these people lost their case, you know, a year and a half ago.
Congratulations.
They didn't respond to any of our affidavits or anything. So it was quite a... quite a journey. I'm so glad it's over, but a lot of people were watching it, and a lot of people are relieved, you know, that people are finally standing up against this system, and it is corrupt. It's unfixable.
It's got to go down, and it will go down, and it'll go down by the power of consciousness, James. If we can awaken enough people, that's what the scriptures talk about when it says the earth and the powers that be shall be destroyed by fire. Mm-hmm. It's the Promethean fire of the consciousness. Yeah. This is what the elites are afraid of. They are so afraid. They work in the dark. No one knows who they are. I've been exposing them, actually. Here's a one for you. The Grey Pope. You probably are you aware of the Grey Pope?
I know the Black Pope and
right. Well,
Pope,
we all
I'm
know.
Not sure about him.
Yep. Well, there's a Grey Pope now. I believe there is a Red Pope too, and these are the colours of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, of course. Okay. The Red Pope, I believe, is in charge of the propaganda arm of the Vatican. In other words, you know, the poisoning of the minds of the buffoons that worship this fictional idol and you know, and blaspheme to the heavens by giving it, you know, credit and calling themselves Catholics. Oh, yeah. I mean, my God, that's the most vile label in the universe. But I can guarantee you that the so-called Deus Rex royal bloodlines that rule the families from behind the scenes have put popes on the throne of Rome, and they are all bloodline, rest assured. Oh, yeah. But the Grey Pope is none other than Pepe Orsini, and I'm happy to say that that's the family that we need to go after, or not we need to go after, but in consciousness and be aware of, that are poisoning humanity. You'll find that they all dwell in the suburbs of Rome still in their little mansions, and no one knows that they're actually pulling the strings behind the scene. But they are interbred and intermarried with the royal families. Queen Elizabeth has this bloodline. It's all Roman, goes back to corrupt Zoroastrian Persian bloodlines and pharaonic Egyptian bloodlines and Khazarian, and they all mixed up together and consolidated their wealth so that they could use it against what they call the goy, you know, the dumb sheeple, the masses that we can pour chemtrails over and inject with mercury, thimerosal vaccines, etc. Yeah, so...
Yeah, it's quite a bunch there. It's we just got a heavy douse of dosing, I guess, of chemtrails a couple days ago. And boy, this one really hit me. I mean, I went down and coughing all kinds of stuff up and chest pain and everything. And I don't know what was in that last dose, but... it's a good one, and I'm sure I've earned it, you know, considering the work I'm doing. They give us a little extra, you know, but you just got to keep going, you know. It's really interesting. I tell you what, I want to run this by you. In meditation, I was getting this really powerful message, and it was one of these beings, these ancient beings, was talking to me, and he was saying that, he was saying the earth and the sun have an agreement. And what I was getting from that is they have an agreement, and there's going to be a support coming from the sun to help the earth through her ascension process. And they have this agreement that's going to be acted out here real soon. And then he was saying that he said tyranny is coming to a close. And he was talking about those who are holding that consciousness or that frequency are just going to implode, you know, on themselves. And and it does seem like we are moving into this alignment with galactic plane. And we're going to be subject to huge magnetic waves of energy. And I'm curious if your research has brought anything up about how that would affect those who are just locked into their ego, who are focused on, you know, control and greed and power over others and things like that. I'm wondering if anything has come up, you know, in your research concerning that.
There has, and I've spoken about this quite a bit lately, because the countdown to 21st of December is about 6 weeks. Yeah. We just had the eclipse, and that was the portal. That was the signpost that we were looking for, and we've gone beyond that now. And this 6 weeks countdown is going to be immense, just immense. Mm-hmm. The beautiful energy that is coming will favor the conscious. It will favor the ones who have raised the fluids in their bodies through good works, virtually, and just loving truth and doing good deeds. And I'll get into that in a minute. But as you said, that these lower vibrating ones will implode, it's going to be dreadful for the lower-minded, closed-minded foot soldiers of Rome, because that's all they are, those that haven't awakened. It will be a dreadful time. I know it is. I haven't had any visions like you have. I get people writing to me every day about similar things. They have dreams, lucid dreams. They have entities that speak to them and communicate with them of the things that are coming. And tyranny is over. It is over. Mm-hmm. We may see it rear its ugly head, because this is how criminals work. You know, they don't... Have you ever seen the Holy Grail by Monty Python?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen the Black Knight that guards the bridge, right? He's none shall pass.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And King Arthur says, what? All right, well, I'll take you on then. And all of a sudden, one limb's off, and it's only a flesh wound. Right. So he chops the other arm. Nah, that's nothing. You know, then a leg. And he's still hurling abuses at King Arthur, of course, and even while he's running away, yellow livered, come back, I'll have you. And so it's quite ridiculous, but this is how the evil are, because evil equates with stupidity. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. So they're too stupid to reason, so they're not going to just let go of this beautiful system of commerce that they've concocted since the days of Constantine the criminal. You see, all of this commerce system of indulgences, basically warrants and notices and paperwork that you get from courts, these are indulgences. They want money for the Vatican. They are collecting Peter's pence. And it goes back to a certain Pope, Silvestre, who discovered or probably wrote up the Donation of Constantine, it's called. It's a document. It's an official document, like a papal bull, whereby they can justify collecting Peter's pence off the sleeping masses. And all of this goes way, way back. I can show how it connects to the Flavian dynasty, the Julian dynasty, all the way back to the corrupt Amon Ra priesthood 3,500 years ago in Karnak. You can go back that far, you know, for this corrupt family. And this is what the masses are doing. Unbeknownst to them, they are foot soldiers and tax collectors for the Vatican. And the Vatican has seen the writing on the wall, Mene Mene Tekel Parson, just like Belshazzar saw the writing on the wall when Babylon fell, and it fell in one night. That's why the scriptures say, get out of Babylon the Great if you don't want to share with her in her sins. Now, this is where the confusion lies, because people don't realize what Babylon means. And the word Baba in the Middle Eastern languages, Chaldean, Babylonian, Sumerian, Akkadian, whatever, whichever one, it means father, Baba. And in good old Italy, where the Pope is, it's called Papa, P-A-P-A. Mm-hmm. And it means daddy.
Yeah.
And it means patriarchy, hierarchy, control. And that's what Babylon really means. That's the true meaning of Babylon. It also means confusion, but it has to do with the pyramidal patriarchal system, whereby just the few elite at the top can rule the bottom, and they've pulled it off very, very efficiently, but they've seen the writing on the wall, and it's now time for us to seize the day. We just need to just expose as much as we can, because they can't bear the light. They're vampires.
Mm-hmm. You know, going back to what you're saying about the stupidity of these people, I've never seen some. They're just so arrogant and so unconscious. It's unbelievable. But they actually think they're on top of the world and above everybody else. But you know, I look at what they're doing, and I just said, you know. When you destroy the very platform for life upon which you live, just because your lust for power and wealth and greed, and you know you're poisoning the planet, you know all this nuclear waste and CO2, all this stuff going on that they're doing, the waters, the toxins, you know, in the drinking water, everything. You look at this and you go, how can these guys have any brains whatsoever? I mean, how can they consider themselves intelligent? And doing what they're doing, and they haven't even figured out karma yet, you know, or universal law, you know, action reaction. It's so simple, you know, but these guys are digging such a big hole, and like Babylon, you know, get out of Babylon, lest you befall her sins or whatever. I always tell people it's the same thing with these major corporations. If you work for them, and you're serving the beast, and you're a willing participant, you're also going to be a participant in the karmic reaction or the fall of the beast. And people just look at me like, well, I have a family to feed. Or, well, and I said, well, you're building military weapons, right? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, what about the other families that you're destroying, you know, to feed your family? You don't think there's going to be some kind of a consequence there, you know? And they go, oh no, you know, no, this is we're defending America. You know, and I just go, oh my God, uh-huh. You know, where do you start with these people?
Yeah, and what's America? A fiction.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a fiction. No, it's just a name. We're defending America. It's well, if you go even further, it's a corporation based on created in 1871 in that little 100 square miles of land, and the Vatican owns that. In fact, I brought out in my new syncretism presentation, which will be up in a couple of days, I brought out that the land on which DC was once called Rome, and the river there was called the Tiber, and that's why they called it Capitol Hill with an O, Capitol, to mirror Capitol Hill at the Vatican. It's just Vatican property.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never traced it back that far. I knew that it was definitely a corporation, and that, you know, we're all indentured servants, you know, with our capital letter names. You know, we're just part of that corporation, and you know, to be basically sold and sheared like sheep, you know. But I think a lot of people, it's amazing how many people are figuring this out now and realizing that, you know, that you have no business with this corporation, and you don't have to have business with this corporation when you understand who they are.
Yeah, they're waking up in their droves, and it's about time. We we know the scriptures have said that the dead shall rise. It's just that the churchgoers have gone around misrepresenting the scriptures because they're brainless and mind-controlled. But that what that means is that until you go from your lower mind, which is the cerebellum, into the cerebrum, you're dead. You're considered dead because, because the cerebrum needs to be, the higher mind is Aries. Aries is in the top of the head, and then all the other signs of the zodiac. The one after Aries is Taurus, which is the cerebellum, and they are both the two signs in the head. Now, bellum in Latin means war, bellicose, etc. And so, when you are in that lower mind, you are it, which is also closely related to the left brain, very masculine, very just analytical, and it's based on logic and reason. Whereas the right brain has the intuition, it's the feminine side, the hermetic side. And this is the one that's been shut down by the Vatican, you see. This is why they ensure that in classrooms everybody's writing with their right hands, because the right hand, when you use the right side of your body, you're activating your left brain. And so you've got controllable people, because if people were in their right brain, they would be, or at least balance the two hemispheres, they would be less controllable. And so this is why the scriptures say that the Israelites had to cross the Red Sea to enter the Promised Land. The Red Sea is the corpus callosum, which joins the two hemispheres of the cerebrum. And unless you cross the Red Sea, you will not get into the right side, and you will always be on the sinister side, which is, practicing sin. Yeah. That's what the sinners, that's who the sinners are, the people who are fixed in the lower mind and think that they've made it somehow, and so they go around vomiting their opinions, you know, about their religion, etc., and all of these things, whereas all they're doing is just repeating erroneous ideas, you see. They've never reached the higher mind, the temple.
Yeah, I just had a conversation with one of those recently. You know, it was quite interesting. You know, they were, you know, it was a very, very fundamentalist thing going on, and they asked me something about saved or something. I can't remember what it was, and I told them, I said, well, maybe you can I don't understand this. I said, maybe you can explain to me why, you know, man is born a sinner, you know, original sin, because this guy Adam took a bite out of an apple, and your whole program is based on that. And then I said, the second question I have is, if God is omnipresent and the Creator is omnipresent within all creation, then what do I have to do, or where do I have to go? You know, all I have to do is be present. And then I asked him a third question. I can't remember the second one. Pulled the rabbit out of the hat there for him or something. But the third question I was asking him was, I'm trying to explain, you know, I don't know, by your teaching, by your master, you know. He says, he talks about an all-loving, all-forgiving God, and he says, judge not, lest you be judged, and things like that. And I said that, you know, if you just practice that, it seems like we'd all be getting along. All the wars would stop. You know, if you saw the Creator in all creation, you'd stop destroying the planet, you know, stop doing this insidious clear-cutting here that they're doing. All this stuff, I just said, why do you think I need help when all you have to do is look around you and how you're judging your neighbor and the other people in the other congregation? I mean, I think there's three Baptist congregations here, and they're just now starting to get along, and then the Presbyterians, but they all have the same book, the same master, the same teachings. And I just go, you know, I want to say that I just don't get it. But I think the problem is I do get it. And I do get it. And I just don't want to admit that I get it. It's so ridiculous. It's so beyond ridiculous. And the blasphemy thing has no hold on me anymore. You can call me the devil or Satan's tool or I'm a confuser, whatever you want to do. Doesn't even bother me more. I said, if I can't ask valid questions and get, you know, get responsible answers or some kind of intelligent answer, then I said, I really don't have time for this program at all. And I said, you know, but it's amazing where we've had that kicked, we've had base common sense kicked out of us, you know, just base logic. And I don't see how any creator who would give us these abilities would say you can't use them. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. Look, what you just related then brought to mind what Celsus said 1800 years ago when he busted the literalist Christians as a pack of morons, because as opposed to the Gnostic Christians who had mysticism and mm-hmm. the mystery school teachings of Egypt, the literalists came along because the Julian and the Flavian dynasty. You see, Julius Caesar, JC, he is actually the Jesus Christ that people today are worshipping, and they don't realize it. But Celsus busted them shortly after they started to appear on the scene, going around in the marketplaces, teaching all the morons that they could find. And he said, Celsus said, when a true philosopher would come, they would pack their little soapboxes, jump off and run away with their tail between their legs, because they couldn't argue or they couldn't deal with intelligent people. But I have Celsus's book in my hand, and I just want to read something to you that reflects what you just said. He says in his book, Celsus on the True Doctrine, A Discourse Against the Christians, on page 70, he says, "Now the Christians are just as proud as the Jews. They profess to seek converts but thrive on martyrdom. I rather suspect that if all men desired to become Christians, the cult would immediately shut the door to converts. At the start of their movement, they were very few in number and unified in purpose. Since that time, they have spread all around and now number in the thousands. It is not surprising, therefore, that there are divisions among them, factions of sorts, each wanting to have its own territory. Nor is it surprising that as these divisions have become so numerous, the various parties have taken to condemning each other, so that today they have only one thing in common, if that, the name Christian."
Yeah.
Look, I urge the listeners to grab Celsus's book, because you will imagine it's as though he were writing in a newspaper today.
Yeah.
And he exposed them as just morons being controlled by the Roman elite. Mm-hmm. You know, to believe in a literal Jesus as a savior. Anyone who is waiting for a vicarious redeemer does not deserve to be saved. Salvation is a process that comes from within, and this is how it's explainable. You can explain the Jesus Christ story in 1 minute to a good-hearted truth seeker, regardless of what church they belong to. But if they have a corrupt heart and they have just a fleeting interest in the subject of truth, they will run away. But this is how I would do it. Jesus died at 33, did he not?
Apparently.
Right. So Jesus dies for our sins, the scriptures tell us, and Christ rises. Well, there's the secret to the Jesus Christ mystery. Jesus dies at 33. You have 33 bones in your vertebrae. When Jesus is born, that's the psychophysical seed that is placed in your solar plexus along your spine. Of course, you would know there are seven chakras. Mm-hmm. The solar plexus is the third from the bottom, and it corresponds with Virgo. Now, just quickly, I'll go from Aries at the top of the head to Pisces at the feet. Mm-hmm. Aries is the cerebrum, the top of the head. Taurus is the cerebellum, the bottom of the head and the neck. Gemini are your two arms and your two lungs. Cancer is your chest. Leo is the heart. Virgo is the belly. Libra, the scales are the two kidneys in the middle of your body. Below that is Scorpio, the generative area. Below that is Sagittarius, the hips. That's why they call them hips. Hippo. Then you come to your knees. That's Capricorn. Kneecaps, Capricorn. You come to your shins. That's Aquarius. And then the 2 feet are the 2 Pisces, which are your 2 feet. In Latin, feet begin with P, and so does fish, Pisces. Same word. Now, Virgo is the belly. It's the solar plexus. Every month when the moon transits your sun sign, in my case, I'm Aryan. So when the moon is in Aries, it plants, it generates a psychophysical germ in the solar plexus. Now, if that seed is looked after and I don't overdrink, overeat, oversex, get angry, get involved in the lustful passions, this seed will grow, and it grows and it ascends up the spine. And this is baby Jesus born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the womb that both male and female have, the solar plexus. And that's at the bottom of the spinal column. And so when the oil ascends up the spine, oil, in other words, is called Christos, at the 33rd vertebrae, at the medulla oblongata, where it finally arrives after many, many good habits and moderation moderate habits, it passes the vagus nerve, which crosses the pingala and the ida nerve, which we call the kundalini and the kundabatha. They connect at the very top of the medulla oblongata. When the oil finally arrives at this precious spot, that's where Jesus dies, and then the Christ is crucified. That's the crucifixion, or the crossover of the oil. And then what happens is there are 3 days when this oil remains in the third ventricle near the optic thalamus. It touches the optic thalamus. The optic thalamus then needs to process that oil for 3 days. That's the tomb of Osiris. That's the tomb of death where Jesus is laid in linen. And then the Christ rises. Well, what happens then? We know that DMT is produced in the pineal gland, and melanin and melatonin and all of these beautiful secretions. All the glands do. But what happens once the oil is returned is that the pineal gland now secretes a fluid which was known in occult science as the blood of the Christ. Yeah, because it purifies the blood. And this is how the ancient mystery schools were able to help heal people and help them to live for very, very long lives by raising the Christ up to the optic thalamus and producing the new blood, the new wine. As Jesus says, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. Because what happens now is that fluid is much more intense. In fact, it's 1,000 times higher vibrating. And when that fluid is secreted, it activates all the dormant brain cells in the cerebrum. And the cerebrum is another word for cherubim. And these are the 2 cherubim that Moses placed over the Ark of the Covenant, which is the optic thalamus. And what happens then is you have the lights turned on. And that's why we say Christ is King, or consciousness is King, because Christ is consciousness. That's all it is. And Jesus is the little germ that we all produce on a monthly basis. Only thing is that most people squander that seed because they just drink too much or eat too much, or they just do not control their bodily habits. They cannot control themselves. And what happens is they produce acid in their stomachs and in their intestines. And they have no alkalinity in their bodies. You see, there's a war in our body, and it's the war against the sun, who alchemically is alkaline, because the word alkaline comes from Arabic, and it means al-kali. Al is God the Father, the Son, and Kali is fire, the Father, God of fire. And the opposite of that is acid, which is ruled by Saturn. And if you know your astrology, you will know that all acid, in fact, I'll do this right now. I have a book which is 1,000 years old in my hands by Al-Biruni, one of the greatest Islamic astrologers, because Islam made astrology official, as it should be. They had the courage to do that 1,000 years ago, but then they went back on their word. Of course, now they like Christianity, they go against the mother of all sciences of astrology. But this is what Al-Biruni said. Saturn is extremely acid, offensively acid. And then he went on to describe Jupiter is sweet, Mars is bitter, the Sun is pungent. See, we have seven tastes, according to Ayurvedic medicine, because the Easterners, they know this, the Chinese know this. They know that in Chinese medicine, they know that the planet Saturn causes acidity in the body. And to alkalize the body, they will give you their herbs, which are alkaline in nature, you see. So they balance the body because they know how important to keep the Temple of Solomon, which is your body, soul of man, to keep it clean and alkaline. Because acid is what brings on death, early death. And you see, and you see people with cancer and arthritis and rheumatism. All of these diseases, there's only one disease in the universe, and that is the compromising of the mucous membrane. And you can only do that with acid. Acid is killing people, and we have a gazillion names for all the diseases, which are only one.
The you know, I work with biophysicists, and one guy with like 9 degrees, crazy. But he was talking about that, and he was talking about Otto Warburg in 1927 actually brought us the cure for cancer. And he said, all you need to do is alkalinize the blood and, you know, make the body more alkaline and increase the oxygen levels. And he says, you know, cancer's anaerobic, and you can back it right out of the system. And so he created an oxygenated water. It has crystallized oxygen in it, stabilized it, and it also alkalinizes the body, and it's a microhydrant, so it absorbs into your system immediately, and it's one of the keys to turning this around. And I was looking at society, and almost everything, all of these processed foods are acidic. They turn your body extremely acidic, and I know there has to be a reason behind that, but you know, I was looking at this on a bigger level. Now Saturn, a lot of the Illuminati actually don't they kind of worship Saturn, and they seem to worship and want this acidic program to happen here. And I mean, even war is acidic. Isn't she a war, one of the goddesses of war that they worship? I forgot her name now.
Nike.
But you know, it's amazing. You look at this whole program, you go, God, this is like, when you get down to the research on this, which you've done a marvelous job on, it all comes together, and you just have this big light go on. You go, ba-ching, you know, it's like, wow, you know, like there is a mass effort to dumb us down, make us acidic, shorten the lifespan. You know, this the huge movement behind it, and it's so big. I don't think it. There's no way it could have just come together accidentally.
No, no. These families, as I said, see, they know that we have been reincarnating on this planet in the, what's called by the philosophers and the Hermetists the cycle of necessity. You see, our souls come in And according to the very person that I was just reading from, Celsus, in fact, I will read from Celsus again to tell you, to show you how long the cycle is, because he actually mentioned that we need at least 30,000 years most souls are here for.
Wow.
And this, and
how do
and
you
so
spell, yeah, how do you spell his name? Just so if people want to look that up or get a copy of that book.
Yeah, it's Celsus.
Okay, great. I think I'm going to get a copy myself.
Oh, you really ought to, and you ought to tell anyone, any churchgoer that knocks on your door, say, "Please read Celsus. He busted you 2,000 years ago. I don't know what you're still doing at my door."
Yeah,
I want to
act in love, and I want to say, and some of them aren't ready to hear some of these things. I honor that, but I go, you know, why can't we just be kind to each other? How about just stop judging each other, being kind to each other and the planet. And let's just agree to that. And most of them will, you know, most of them will. But, you know, there's those hardcore ones that think you need to be exercised or saved or whatever.
Yeah, it's really, you know, if I ever express anger against churchianity, it's really against those ones. It's the killing ones amongst them, not the good-hearted ones that are ignorant and just go to church and believe in Christianity. That's fine. You can believe in Islam, Judaism, Islam. They're just languages. That's all they are. They're all teaching the same theology. There's only one theology, absolutely only one universe, one theology, and God is the universe. God is all. We are God. And I mean, if you can't understand that, well, it's not worth, you know, it's not worth engaging in any conversation with people that cannot grasp that. I mean, it's childish if you speak to them. But what he says on page 122 is, as Empedocles teaches. Now he's quoting Empedocles, who was a great philosopher, around the time of Pythagoras. The soul must wander about away from the blessed for 30,000 years, becoming in its time every possible shape of mortal being. Yeah, the soul is guarded in the here and now by the wardens of our earthly prison. This is the nature of our mortal existence. We are given to gatekeepers for purposes ordained by God. This is philosophic what I'm preaching. And then he says it makes abuse on the officers, demons in charge of our prison. So he was attacking the Christians there.
I think we're losing you. Are you there? I think your mic went off or something.
Oh, okay. Where did you lose me?
Just right there when you're.
Okay.
You know, just lost a couple, just 4 or 5 words maybe.
No worries. So the point, why did I read that about 30,000 years? Well, that's the average. I mean, some of us get through in less than that. And according to Homer and Hesiod and all those guys, indicating that Ulysses wandered for 10 years, that number is symbolic. Manly P. Hall pointed that out, and so did Macrobius 1,600 years ago, that the number of the years of the Trojan War was 10 years, and the wanderings of Ulysses was 10 years. This is a symbolic number for the 10,000 years that good souls are here for, reincarnating. But some, due to great sleepfulness, are here in the cycle of necessity for at least 30,000 years. Now, why did I mention this? Because the elites know this. So what they've done is they've intermarried over thousands of years and consolidated their wealth so that they can reincarnate into wealth. Mm-hmm. You see, like Prince William, he reincarnated into the family because he was always in that family because they lust for power and they gravitate to those families. This is why these families are so creepy and and love to kill and steal the wealth of other families, because other families believe that Jesus is going to come in the clouds to save them one day, but don't realize that Jesus and Christ are within, and all things that we have, everything that we have, is within. I mean, the scriptures tell you the kingdom of God is within you. So if the kingdom of God is within you, what else do you need?
Exactly. You know, it says the temple's within, you know, all of that. Ye are God's, children of the Most High. I love Meister Eckhart, what he had to say. He said, I can't remember how it went. I think it was if nut seeds produce nut trees and pear seeds produce pear trees, he said, what do God seeds produce? You know,
and
pretty much summed it up, you know, but we've had so much guilt and unworthiness and division, you know, oppressed on us that we just can't handle the fact that you know, the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions is within us. We just have to ignite that spark, and then we can become one, as the other masters have become one, or atonement, at one-ment. You know, it's pretty basic.
At one-ment, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is basic. It's pretty basic, but look, there's two areas that you can look at for the reasons for this condition that we're suffering in. The controllers, number one, that's a major reason. The controllers have taken advantage of the second reason, which is the cycle of necessity that we're in. In the cycle of necessity, which is simply just the processional cycle, the procession of the equinoxes, in that cycle, we go from gold through silver through bronze into iron. And we, unfortunately, have just come out of the Iron Age. And really, you can just blame it on that, if you like. I mean, but the fact that the elites have done a number on us and taken advantage of this decline in consciousness, this fall of man, is pretty much unforgivable, unless they truly repent. Repentance is basically just to stop doing evil things. And you know, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, they've been invited to repent. Let's see what happens. They don't have to trash the earth.
Yeah.
They don't have to rape our beautiful mother. They don't. It's not required. You know, so they can stop doing it if they so choose to do so.
Yeah, I'd love to see them just shift, you know, and I'm all for forgiveness and moving forward, but there needs to be some kind of reconciliation on the other side there, and I think those who have amassed great wealth at the expense of humanity and the earth have to shift and turn this energy back, you know, into the awakening and healing process, you know, and cleaning up restoring our environment and awakening people and things of that nature, and I think that's their only salvation. The only way they're going to come through this thing and not implode with these new energies coming in is to make that shift.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. And they're invited to do so, and in fact, many are. Mm-hmm. And when I say many, it's probably few compared to the ones that are still resisting this change. But there are ones from the elite who are, you know, changing their heart and making it known to the world. There's good in there. There's, for instance, Princess Nakamaru. My wife's Japanese, so I know about Nakamaru, and she's doing really well. She's actually related to Emperor Hirohito of that family, and she is outspoken against what the controllers are doing. There's also an Italian called Leo Zagami, who I've seen quite a bit of his work. He's a very strange man, but he's of the elite, and he's speaking out against the New World Order and the controllers and showing how corrupt they've become and how it's time now to clean up this mess. And so quite a few of them, there was a Rockefeller who was killed here in Australia a couple of years ago. You may have heard of that.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so who knows why? I mean, he may have been wanting to come out. The moment they try and come out is the moment they get whacked. This is why they also are afraid to come out of their mind control. It's a cruel system.
Oh,
it's an absolutely cruel system. I mean, what they do is they put their children through torture and mind control so that they can look after the family business.
Yeah, I've heard quite a few horror stories about that. I know recently that I just was I got an email about, I guess they have this $43 trillion lawsuit and it has some pretty high profile people in it. And all of a sudden, the guy that aired it, I guess the CBS executive that aired this lawsuit, ended up with two of his daughters killed and the babysitter supposedly slashing her own throat, cutting herself all the way to the core, which is hard to do to yourself. But, you know, it's obvious that was a message, you know, saying, hey, you know, you're going to have consequences if you go public with this. But it just seems no matter what, it's popping out everywhere, and people are fed up with it. And I think the more heinous things they do to people, the more the truth is going to come forward. You know, to kill two innocent little girls to shut this guy up is beyond, that's just pure evil. You know,
it is pure evil. Of course it is. Of course it is. There's no other way to describe it. Because here we are describing things in the dualistic world, and it is, of course, up in the higher realms, it doesn't exist, but here it does.
Yeah.
So we have to talk about it in these terms. Mm-hmm. And realistically, people who choose to polarize their energies to the evil side, are labeled as evil. And what happens is, in so doing, they do damage to the atoms that make up their soul. Because, you see, the atoms that make up the body are wrapped around the atoms that make up the soul. And this is what the soul is all about. The soul is something that needs to be nurtured, otherwise you can actually lose it. It becomes like a very, very thin, a thin body, and it can start to lose its identity. And this is why the elites are into child sacrificing and drinking the blood after they've tortured them, because of the fluids and that come from the glands, and all the oils, the Christ oils of the babies that they sacrificed. You see, you hear about this quite a lot.
Yeah.
And the reason being is because their souls are really, really diminishing. I mean, they have aligned themselves to the left, you know, to the sinister and to what we call evil here. They've aligned themselves to that, polarized themselves so much that their souls are really, really thinning out, and they need to put soul into them. So this is why they eat them. This is the only reason why, to fatten their own souls. But it's only like a Band-Aid fix.
Yeah, I mean, that's coming up too, where all these children, especially a lot of Native American children in Canada and other places have disappeared, you know, under the elite's care, supposedly, and nobody can find them. There's no record of where they went, what happened to them, or anything. And there's massive lawsuits and charges, you know, recently coming up and hitting the press, you know, big time about these events that happened. And I just see that's part of the process, where no rock is being left unturned. Everything is just coming to the surface so we can see who's who and what they've been up to.
There shall be nothing done in secret that will not be revealed in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see it with our own eyes. We will see, very shortly, we will see massive changes.
Oh, yeah.
Changes that will even surprise us. But the sad thing is, for the ones that continue in their stubbornness, in the book of Revelation, I remember when I was a churchgoer, where it talks about all the plagues that God sent down to man, and they did not repent. Well, this is basically just metaphorically speaking about how men have many opportunities, collectively and as individuals, to make changes in their lives, to improve, to open their minds and turn every stone to find the truth, rather than just going to your own local little church and reading your own little Jehovah's Witness publications for the truth, because the Mormons are lying and the Baptists are lying. Only Jehovah's people have the truth. This is narrow. This is really, really narrow. People who do this don't realize that they are suffering from a disease called narrow-mindedness, and it's really, really dangerous. It's very important to turn every stone you can to find the truth, because if you don't, you will... And that's how life presents the truth to you. Oh, yeah. Every day there are opportunities where you can open a door and say, well, look, you know, I might just have an open mind and see what, you know, this person has to say. And that is the way you can escape opinion and acquire direct knowledge. Because churchgoers are kept in the lower mind of opinion, whereas... The higher mind, which Einstein spoke a bit about, is the mind of direct knowledge.
Yeah, and that's going to take research outside the box, you know, and I've seen that over and over again. You know, even a lot of churches condemn you for looking outside of their box. And I go, what a puny God, you know. Is your God that puny that he can't handle a little... constructive criticism, you know, or a little research, you know, or whatever, you know. If this guy is all omnipotent and everything else, what does he need you for? You know, he could toast me anytime. So
exactly.
Yeah. So you know, that's between me and God. You know, why do you need to step in between? You know, if he wants or she wants to toast me, you know. For using my God-given brain to try to figure things out and step outside the box. Because, you know, basically we have to really look at things. It's not working down here. Our present legal system isn't working. The religions aren't working. The governments aren't working. Nothing is working. If any of those things worked, we would have heaven on earth right now. So they've had their run, you know, and we have to step, you know, up to the basic fact that that was a failed experiment. It didn't work. So you know, maybe we should try something else and get out of this insanity of doing the same thing over and over expecting a different result.
Exactly. It reminds me of I used to love watching The Simpsons because they're very funny, but Bart Simpson was—he presses the doorbell and it squirts him in the face, you know. So, and then he just wipes the water off his face. Then he presses the bell again and it squirts him in the face, and then wipes his face, does it again, and he doesn't get it, right? Because he's a little dumbass. He's Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
But the thing is, churchgoers are doing the same thing, and politicians are doing the same thing, and you see people going round and round in circles doing the same thing. They just cannot escape the lower mind. They look like animals that keep practicing doing the same little things every day. Like my dog, you know, if I hold a ball in my hand, I have her undivided attention.
Yeah.
She will just chase the ball all day long because she thinks that's her job. And this is what the elites do. They hold balls up, you know, and all sorts of knickknacks and tricks. Here's a new thing. Oh, here's a new fashion. Try this. Oh, a new car. Look at this. We've got a new idea. And people just go, wow, look at... And off they go. And what they are doing is they are being distracted by black magic sorcerers that hold up balls for them to be, you know, entertained. Movies, for instance, spewing out vomit. I mean...
Yeah.
Oh, they're getting more and more horrible and mind-controlling. The feeling you get when you go to the movies these days with the ads and everything and just the creepy way the path that Hollywood has taken, very, very dark. You get sick. I get sick after I walk out of the cinema.
Yeah,
I'm sick
too. I can't go anymore. Yep. I go, you know, if you've got a comedy or something that's mind-expanding, or whatever else, you know, even if it's rude, I don't care if it's funny, but I cannot do the you know, this mind control, just blasting music and people getting decapitated and eaten from inside out, or all these zombie movies and everything else. I go, forget it. don't even bring those into my house. I don't even want that frequency playing, you know, in my house.
Oh yeah, it's just it's so low, and yet people, it's like the food they eat, junk food,
oh, yeah.
Fatty food, food that is highly processed because it's great for the palate. Oh, yum, yum, yum. But the
totally
havoc,
acidic,
it's,
yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. And this is what the movies are like. The movies, the horror movies and all the fear, they are addicted to that kind of sensation. Mm-hmm. And this is what causes acidity too. The love of the lower vibrating lusts and sensations and emotions, etc.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we're coming up to the end of the hour. I wish I had a two-hour show here. Unfortunately, I don't. On this network, but we'll have to get you back on because I think we could probably go for 3 or 4 hours.
Anytime, James. Anytime.
But what is the best way for people to get in contact with you and find out more about your work?
I would go to Mr. Astrotheology, which is my YouTube handle, and I would start at the very top of my playlist with my new video that I released a week and a half ago called Syncretism. I would really seriously watch that now. I've released some truths that must reach the ears and eyes of all truth seekers. I have busted the true theology. The true theology is we can be relieved that there is only one theology in this universe. There's not the many as the elite would have us believe.
And keep us divided. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll definitely put that link up on the website and get that information out.
Yeah, thanks, James. And I really hope that we talk again because I enjoy your approach to interviews. I really love what you're doing and your commitment to truth and humanity and love and ascension. And congratulations on your win with the court. And may you absolutely prosper and be blessed. And let's look forward to the days coming because we shall ascend. Omnia vincit veritas.
All right. Thank you so much. This is James Gillen signing off. Have a great day.